You're listening to Trot the Egging, hosted by John Hetherington, working with Widnes Rugby Union Football Club, sponsored by Boydells. This week's rugby story belongs to a lad from Ince in Wigan. He's represented his hometown club in Wigan Warriors, Huddersfield Giants, Salford Red Devils and North Wales Crusaders. He also wore the jersey of Lancashire, England and Great Britain with immense pride and honour. Doing great things off the field now to help people better themselves. Ladies and gents, Mr. Stephen Wilde. All right, Steve, so how's lockdown been for you and the family, mate?
Hey, mate. It was tricky at the start. I think, like everybody, it was a shock. Shutting the business and that. So I was pretty much, I think it was 3 months, sunbathing in the back garden for the first 3 months. But
hard life.
Yeah. I drank enough gin in that time. But in a different way, it was probably one of the best things what's happened to us. And I know it's been a tough time for a lot of people, but for us, it kind of reevaluated where our lives wasn't and how much time we was working and didn't really spend too much time, you know, with family and stuff. So it kind of just made us realise that, you know, things needed to change when things opened up and ended up setting up a new business in lockdown as well.
Oh, good stuff, mate. So we'll touch on that later on, hopefully, mate, but... Mm-hmm. Before we get stuck into your rugby story, mate, where was home and who lived at home with you?
So there's me and my partner, and I have two girls as well. Yeah. So obviously the schooling and everything over lockdown was tough, but we adjusted.
Eventful. Yeah. So what about when you were a kid, mate? Where was home and who lived with you at home when you were a kid?
So I'm originally from Ince in Wigan, and I used to talk about this a lot, but I've not talked about this for years. But I'm from a big family, so there's 10 of us, yeah. 5 boys, 5 girls. So
wow.
It was an eventful household. Yeah. Luckily, I was one of the youngest. I'm the third youngest. So, you know, the time I was born and that few was moved out. But, yeah, it was an hectic household. And back in them days, it wasn't any computers or phones and stuff. You had to kind of make your own entertainment up.
Yeah, so how was it at home? Was it competitive between you?
I think, you know, growing up in an household, we weren't well off or anything. So, you know, day-to-day life was always competing first at the table, first at, you know, grabbing things. My older brother is a year older. We love sport. You know, we played sport for fun, any sport. And, you know, we were very lucky we had, you know, a playing field at the top of our street where, you know, literally 10 minutes after finishing school, we'd be up top and playing sport with the other kids in the street. So that's probably where the love of sport come from for me, you know, with my brother.
Right, so first up, best dressed, mate.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And there weren't much food left at the end of the day if you was lasting in. So competitive in that way.
Yeah, well, that was it. You didn't go in when you were shouted, mate, would you? Because you wouldn't be allowed back out after your tea. So worth the risk, was it?
Yeah, if you heard my dad's lungs in them days, he could shout over 3 fields anyway.
So you'd done as you were told. So definitely. What was the ball of choice for you and your brother then, mate?
Anything. I think my mum and dad actually give us any ball, any shape, cricket balls, tennis bats, basketballs, rugby, football, just to get us out of the household. I think it was, like I said, no computers in them days. But predominantly it was football and rugby. I was actually a decent footballer, goalkeeper as well back in the day. And my brother was a decent keeper and strass defender in them days. So, anything we could get hold of, but predominantly rugby and football.
Right, mate. So what junior school did you go in? Was sport a big thing then? Or?
So I went to St. William's in Ince, and I can't really remember much if it was they promoted, but luckily with that school, the rugby club was joined onto the playing fields in St. William's Sunday League club in them days. So I think it was just one of them where, again, there was so many of us what lived in that area after school. We'd play in school, and that's how we kind of got into the Sunday League. A couple of coaches come after school and just saw us throwing a ball around and asked us to go down the in St. William's Sunday League club. And 3 or 4 of us said, yeah. And that was it. And that was, I think I was about 7-year-old, 8-year-old, something around that age.
Right.
I actually went down.
Yeah. So was that your first junior club, was it?
Yeah, that was my first junior club in St. Williams, or St. Bill's, we used to call them. And I was there, got a good few years. They actually kind of folded about, I think it was 10, 11, 12, around that age. They didn't have an higher age group. So most of my friends went to St. Pat's, which was like a theatre club in them days. I just loved the in St. William's club, and my dad and my mum, they were, you know, washing kits, you know, collecting subs. And so they were big involved in the club as well.
Yeah.
So they joined Rose Bridge, which is another, it's quite a big rivalry with St. Pat's and Rose Bridge. I made the decision, I think it was the only player to take a step up and play a year above at like 13, 14. To just to stay in that club. And yeah, it was tough. I was only probably 5 foot, and you know, weighed nothing. I was really, really small and weighed nothing, and playing against, in my age, they looked like men, you know, towering above me and stuff. So it was a good couple of years of getting batters and getting picked on and getting thrown around. But it toughened me up a bit, because I was soft in them days. I was really small and timid and quite shy.
Right, mate. So if we can go back a little bit to them early games, mate. So do you remember much about, was it half a pitch, and was your coach stood behind you? Because everyone sort of gets a run of the ball, don't they? Or, is that how it was back then? Or I can't remember just if it was half a
pitch or not, but yeah, I can remember the coaches, and I'm still friends with the coaches now. They still have involvement in the club. I can remember having no positions and pretty much just giving everybody. But I think what stood out with me and probably what's, you know, been all of my career, was I just loved defending. And the coach was like, you're a bit mad, you're just running across all field trying to tackle everybody. You know, no knowledge of the game proper. I think I was just playing like I would with my brother on the field, you know, 3-4 of us. So it was just like a little rabbit and just running round. And that's all I really can remember of it, really.
That's probably why you enjoyed it as much, though, mate. You don't want structure at that age, do you? You just want the fun, don't you?
Think that's sadly what's kind of changing over these last few years, were, you know, the development squads and you know, the structure of the kids. But you know, most kids start sport, and that's why I started sport, is just to playing on a field or playing where you be to a certain age.
Yeah. So you touched on that development stuff then, mate, and it's good timing, really, because probably the same for you, but 10, 11, it comes the town team, mate. So was that an option for you, and was it something that popped up for you, or was you not ready at that stage for that sort of thing?
So I think I tried to have a good think about this today. I remember going into kind of trials for the town team again, because I was small and shy. I think it was 11, 12. I don't think it was that. And I remember getting through. I think I played for one town team 1 year. I was in the back row. I think it was like Ian Sibbett and that. And they were like 6 foot. And I was still... Yeah. And I just didn't fit in. I just didn't look like a rugby player. I didn't enjoy it. I just felt like I wasn't part of that team. These guys, you could tell they'd been in so many town teams, they knew each other, they were like the elite of the elite, and I was this kid on my own who just scraped in just on talent alone. So I didn't really enjoy it, but I knew it was part of the process of you know, developing me. It was tough, but it's looking back, it's probably something that, you know, I didn't really think it was a big stage then, but you know, an old town team is a massive stage for developing players now.
Yeah, no, good, mate. So you leave junior schools, mate, you're going into high school. How did you find the transition? So was school something you enjoyed, Steve, or was it, like most players I speak to, it was very much social and rugby was what they went to school for, and they couldn't wait to leave school to play rugby?
Yeah, pretty much that. So I went
job the same, mate. Right.
I wasn't the brightest, should I say, but I love school. I love, you know, the friendships and the sporting side of it. I enjoyed learning. I was just not the brightest. I always say now, you know, I tried my best. But I think I was a bit different. I don't think I was never thought I'd make it as rugby. So in the back of my head, it was a dream. But yeah. In other ways, I'm like, right, I need to focus on getting a job as well. You know, there's more to rugby. And that's probably in school. I didn't even take PE, you know, for GCSE levels, because I just thought, well, I don't need PE. I've never become a PE teacher. You know, yeah. I don't think I'm going to make it in sport. I was always going to be, you know, on the roof, so, you know, like a grafting job.
Yeah.
So that's probably the low confidence I was in school in them days.
Right, but did you find the transition okay, though? Because it sounds like you was. It's timid, the right word, mate. I don't want to speak on your behalf.
I think that's probably what I love about in school and around certain people. I was this timid, shy little kid. But when I got on the rugby field, I was different. And, you know, I was this kid what was still only... I think I only grew after... You know, I was 5 foot something in school and not weighed nothing. So I was running around and I was competing against bigger lads and these popular lads who were playing town team regular and on these scholarships and you know, in academies. So, and I was competing against them, and that probably just gave me confidence. But away from that sporting side of it, I was a timid and shy kid.
Yeah. So what did you think of the standard of school rugby to the standard of your club rugby? How did you find it?
So John Fisher has had a massive legacy of producing great players, and each year had a massive legacy. I think, you know, we got Sean O'Loughlin underneath me, and their year went on so many, but our year was probably, no disrespect, was probably the worst year for producing players. Our year was more predominantly football. A lot of the lads went to football. Really enjoy the rugby. And through all the school, high school years, I was in and out the rugby team because, you know, we just didn't compete. We was putting players in who'd never played before. We had football players playing rugby. And that's probably, I didn't really enjoy the school rugby because of that. We just didn't have enough players to compete. So... Yeah. You know, the Sunday League is where I loved because I was competing against all the guys as well, or all the lads. And yeah, that's probably where, you know, the confidence and everything grew.
Yeah, so the club rugby and the Sunday rugby was your environment really, mate, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty much everything.
So going up through high school, was John Fisher just predominantly rugby league, mate? Rugby union was never an option for you at school?
No, I don't. I think they changed after I went. I think they started introducing rugby union, but it was pretty much rugby league and football school. I was into everything in them days in school. I was playing basketball for the basketball team. I was doing the athletics. I just loved sport because it just brought the best out of me. So, I did have a go at football. I did have a go at everything in school. It was just I never stuck to anything in school with rugby, football or anything, just because I think I don't and not competing, that competitive side of me. Just couldn't get it from the school sport.
Yeah. And I suppose all them sports three together, mate, produces the athlete you've become, doesn't it? So all them attributes you can put into practice on the Sunday, can't you? Or on a weekend when you leave school, obviously, because you play midweek games and stuff, but it all comes together nicely to make not far off the complete rugby player, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing, and this was probably later on in life when I started looking, when I was professional and stuff, but looking back, you know, playing basketball and the athletics played a massive part in developing me, you know, my running technique to my ball angling skills, hand-eye coordination and stuff. You know, it's something that I'd recommend for any young kid and any, you know, team sports to bring other sports involved, because the amount of development you can get out of them sports is massive.
Yeah. So, obviously, I appreciate you playing a year above through high school, but was these representative opportunities sure the first year through school? And with you only getting in one or two town teams or service areas, they were called at my age, were probably still town team for your age. But did that spur you on a bit? Because some kids, mate, especially if they're timid in the school environment like you was, they can certainly withdraw them, think, unfortunately, I'm not good enough. But doesn't mean you're not, does it? It means you're just not quite ready. But did that spur you on maybe to kick on and become as good as you did and achieve what you did?
Do you know what? I think I probably didn't in high school. I think that timidness went all the way through high school. And I think it was probably only when I turned 16 and left school that, you know, I dropped back to my normal age group then.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I grew in confidence, because I dropped down and had a big growth spurt. I went to 6'1", 6'2". Still skinny, but when I dropped back down, I felt like I was one of the bigger guys then, and I felt like I was competing against, you know, people my own age and stuff, and the confidence just grew from there. And I think, you know, when I went to St. Pat's to drop back down to my own age, because the centre in Rosebridge didn't continue to develop the youth by then. So I dropped back, and I remember the coach saying to me, "You're going to play centre for us." And I was like, "No, I've dropped back to go back into back row." Because when I was at Rosebridge, I was playing hooker, outback, fullback, wing, just anywhere to just try and protect me, because I was a little kid. And I thought, I've dropped back to go back into the back row. And he just said, "Trust me." And I did, and ended up having, you know, an awesome season for St. Pat's, going so many tries. My winger was top try scorer. And that's when kind of the club started kind of sniffing around then, you know, start asking, who's this kid who's pretty much been disappeared for the last 2-3 years. Yeah. And that's when I started to get no confidence, probably started to build for me.
Yeah. So do you feel that's a bit of lazy work from clubs, though? Because you haven't disappeared, have you? Don't get me wrong, your club have tried to, like, look after you, like you say, in different positions, but that ability's always there. It's just for someone to pick an attribute and think, yeah, he's got something here. Like, you've got to understand, you're obviously a year above, and you said yourself that you get to a certain age when most of them lads in that year, mate, are men, aren't they? And you're still a boy without being patronising. It's just the way life is, isn't it? And
yeah,
do you think it's maybe a bit of not lazy scouting, because they go looking for someone and might spot you looking for someone else, but it's maybe not grasping a kid in the right environment, do you think?
Yeah, I think obviously back in them days they just sent, you know, people around to clubs and got their opinion. I know it's probably a lot more technical these days, and they look at especially smaller kids and kids what are, you know, they look at attributes of, you know, are they going to be battlers? Are they going to give up? Are they, you know, the resilience and stuff? And I had all that in them days. But I just think it was just down that the scouts come and obviously if a player is scoring so many tries and doing so many good things in a game, they're not going to look at some kid who's, you know, making 30 tackles and running around and you know, doing all the little things that, you know, a lot of people in the crowd don't really notice. But, you know, I think it was just one of them things that I knew how to drop down back to my own level to get scouted or to get noticed again, because it was one of them where I carry on playing, enjoying, you know, the older age group for and maybe not make it, or give myself a good couple of years and my own age group and have a go at making it.
Fair enough. And you felt at home in the centres, mate, yeah?
Yeah, to be honest, you know, I complained at the first, but it ended up being one of the best seasons, you know, for me at Pats with them, and that's probably when I grew as a person and as a player, and like I said, that's when I actually thought, well, I have got a chance of getting signed, because a lot of my friends are already signed by then. You know, I was 16.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends had signed at 13 and 14. So for me, I think once they'd gone, I was like, oh, this is me now. You know, best start looking for a job.
Yeah.
A job and stuff. And I did end up, you know, working on the roofs and, you know, did my time on that and kind of just started playing for the love of it again and enjoying the rugby. And if it had happened, it happened. If it didn't, you know, I probably played at Pats, so, you know, another 15 years or so.
Yeah. So what other options did you have leaving school? Was it always the roofing, or was there a college? Talks?
Yeah. I was always going to go into some kind of manual labour. I think it was about a week after I left school. And I think I'd done a week being lazy. My dad just went, "You need to get a job." And I literally went down to the local roofing guy and just said, "Can I have a job?" And he went, "Yeah, you start." you know, tomorrow morning at 5:30, and that was how it was done. I did 18 months working on the roofs, and the only reason I stopped that, and I loved it, but I got picked up by Wigan on a scholarship, the very first scholarship by then, and I was 17. So I was one of the oldest scholarships by then, but it was just interfering that, you know, getting home at 6-7 o'clock at night from being in at 5:30 in the morning, and then going training to Wigan, and I had to make a decision that do I give, you know, Wigan a go, or do I finish my apprentice on the roofs and stuff, and I gave the roof up after 18 months and went fully in with Wigan, and I got a night job, on a morning job, a couple of night jobs as well, in the local factories, just to make money, because we weren't on any money by then.
Yeah.
I had to give my security up with the roofing and just kind of tried back myself.
Right, mate. So how did signing that scholarship come about then, mate? So you're still playing for the Pats at this point, you said?
Yeah, playing for Pats. Yeah. And in them days, I had a good couple of seasons with them. And it was halfway through the second season or three quarters. And the Bry Foley, he was at Wigan. He was our coach at Pats. And Jed Byrne, I think they'd been offered at the academy at Wigan. And he just said to me, just what you're doing now. And I just trust me, you'll get picked up. And they kind of nurtured me over then, because I think they could see that I was doing everything I could.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, there was players getting picked up younger, and the group of players younger than me, like I said, the Lachlans and everybody who was, you know, they were getting signed, and it was almost whittling away from me. And, you know, thankfully, I think they probably had a couple of good words in for me at Wigan when they went over. And it was one of the first with a new scholarship scheme. I didn't know what it was. It pretty much got a tracksuit and a bag, a little bit of money, and that was it. It was literally training at Wigan. So that's all I needed. I just needed a go. Get in there.
Well, happy days, mate. So who represented you in? How does signing a scholarship come about then, mate? Do you need a representation, or can you just go and do it yourself?
I don't know what it's like these days, but with me, it was literally a phone call or someone coming down to Pat saying, we want to offer you a scholarship. I went, yep. And I walked down to Central Park on my own. From it was about 15-20 minute walk, signed a contract. I got a bag full of kit and then walked home with a bit of money in my pocket.
Fair enough.
And all the way home, I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to say. Got home and told me, you know, I'd signed the scholarship.
Further, I'm going to say 20 minutes is plenty of thinking time, but if you're a Wigan kid and it's something you really want to do, mate, there's no thinking to be done, is there?
No, I think I think it was one of them. It was a boyhood dream, and you know, to just get my foot in the door, that's all I wanted and needed.
Yeah, so how was your first day there? Do you remember much about when you first wrapped up in your first session? And
I don't remember about the much of it. I remember it being professional. It was at the old Central Park then, and you trained in, you know, they only had one gym, so it was the first team gym and stuff, and the chairs, and then you trained on the top field. But the lads what were there, and these lads have been picked up from 13, 12. Ricky Bybee, I think he told me he was like 10 or 11, something, you know, stupid age. And again, it almost felt like the town team thing, where these lads all knew each other because they represented so many years. And so I kind of did feel a bit on my own. But then, luckily, a couple of Pats lads who we were playing with at the time in the team, they got scouted and put in at the same time. So there was about three or four of us, which helped my... It just gave me that bit of security of someone and then growing into the other lads at the time, which knew each other for years.
For all the latest regarding Trot the Egging, please add John Hetherington on Facebook, at John Heth, H-E-T-H, on Twitter, at Trot the Egging on Twitter, and Trot_the_egg_in on Instagram. You've been listening to Trot the Egging. Thanks to our sponsors, Bardell Sports. Follow us on Twitter @TrotTheEgging and Instagram @Trot_the_egg_in.